blended in that as I know you're Him. Blended in there is a woman who said, I know that if I can but touch the hem, I already know, I've heard enough, I've seen that who He is who He is. I believe this rabbi is separate and apart. I already know in my heart, if I can but touch the hem of His, I know I shall be made whole. You know what else she did? She broke every religious, churchy law you can think of. Unclean, reached in and grabbed a hole illegally. A death sentence, you're exactly right. But this rabbi was different. Hey guys, somebody just touched me. What are you, nuts? People are pressing all. No, this, she really touched me. Because I felt power flow. Hem of His garment. If you study, this is all prophetic. How many know what he's referring to? The hem of His garment. What did the rabbis wear? Picture of healing. Healing in His wings. All of this to be fulfilled and ratified through something that they didn't even understand yet, called the New Covenant. God no longer just with us, but in us. He was laying down new stuff. This lady got a hold of it and reached past tradition and law. A form of worship, saying thank you already before it was manifest. Your message last week, digging ditches before. I mean, this guy just been hitting it on all. That digging ditches before has been in my heart and mind all week long. What does faith look like? Don't pray and wait for something to happen. Pray and set your pace. It's already done. Dig ditches because the water's coming. How many been digging ditches? You weren't here, you have to get the message. One more time. You tired of worshiping? How we love you today. How we honor you today. Father God, I thank you that by faith we release the kingdom of God. We release the power of God into this room today. Freedom, blessing one another. We love you and honor you. And everyone said, amen and so be it. Standing right there where you're at before you sit down. Father, the most important election of our lifetime. And maybe several lifetimes faces us this next week. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for protection on President Trump. Not hard to tell where I'm going, is it? President Trump, and all of them for that matter. But in particular, grace and peace and strength. Father, on your people, protection, blessing. Father God, I thank you for a turnaround in this nation. I thank you that evil continues to be exposed. Wake up the church. Stop with the judgment. Where the church always goes. Judgment. 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 We want judgment. Let's call down fire. You don't know what spirit you're being influenced by. That's done. Judgment fully exhausted in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every ordinance, everything that was written against us, fully completed. There was a need for judgment. There had to be righteous judgment for sin. And there was and is forever. Jesus Christ the righteous. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us so that we could arbitrarily, by faith, supernatural divine exchange, become the righteousness. I want the righteousness of God to lift your hands one more time here this morning. Sola vacasia. Paul was zealous. He was self-righteous. He was doing everything he could in his power to make sure he was righteous. In fact, in Philippians 3, he said, concerning the law, I was perfect. I've heard grace people say, you can't do it. You can't do it. Well, I understand what they mean. You can't do it from the heart. But Paul straight up said, I did it. Perfect. But that's a miserable mess. Jesus, loving Jesus, appears to him and says, Paul, how long are you going to kick against the goads in the stall? You're just beating yourself up. You're missing the point. I'm the one who all that points to. I'm the one that the missing ingredient, all this that you're doing in your own power. Paul was zealous. Paul was going for it, buddy, but in his own strength. Doesn't work. Wears you out. Makes you a bloody mess. Why, you blame God and He's not the one involved. How many are glad for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set us free from the law of sin and death? Today we worship you. The fulfillment spoken of by Jesus to the woman at the well. This strange man speaking of another kind of water that would quench your thirst forever. We drink deep this morning, standing now on the fulfillment of what He prophesied, the new covenant, the flow. Come on, one more time. This kind of worship drives back the power of the enemy. This kind of worship drives back oppression and depression. This kind of worship stops the power of addiction in Jesus' name. This kind of worship pulls the bottom brick out of the plan of the enemy. This kind of worship I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Spirit of God spoke through Brother Daniel, and I hope you didn't miss what God said. Forget who delivered. Don't forget Him. Love Him. I appreciate it. But I'm saying, don't worry about it. He would say the same thing. Don't worry about them. This here, if this is the only place this happens, you will live a cyclical, defeated life. Doesn't matter what you tell your kids in Sunday school or for a couple of times, what will mark them, what my own kids will tell you made the day. I'm not bragging. I'm just reporting. But my own kids will tell you made the difference in our home was not a perfect mom and dad, because I was far from perfect. They'd be the first to tell you that too. But was worship. Always, all their grown up years, worship in the home, worship music on in the background, worshiping together as a family, worship. Worship. My daughter Rebecca, every few days, she's married now with two kids, every few days, Daddy, I'm crying right now. You got to hear this. She and Bruce, man, they've been through a real challenge. But worship, don't worship worship. We're in that right now too. No, we don't worship worship. Understand, worship is Mary at Jesus' feet. Martha running around trying to take care of all the business, making sure everything's in order and getting irritated. Our works and our effort to just have everything perfectly set up, have everything arranged, patting ourselves on the back because now I qualify. We won't even realize. We'll be complaining to Jesus. Why can't you see? Jesus reminded her and the rest of the bunch that was there, this what she's doing is only the one thing necessary. That's a shocker. And then He called that a work. He said, this work And it will last how long? Forever. One more time, wherever you're sitting and standing, we worship you. We honor you. This work, the only one that matters, the only one really and truly necessary. Yes, we must function in life. Yes, we must do the things that we have to do. Yes, good work ethic in the world makes a difference. But when it comes to this right here, where we live as believers, this one thing is necessary. Take it home today, in the car. My favorite place is in my truck. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Well, aren't you glad you came to church today? That was sermon one. Yes, sir. Please. Amen. I don't even want to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me. I don't know whether to even start this or not. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not sure I have the time to tie all this together like I want to, but we'll get started and then I'll just quit at 11:30 maybe. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 3 says this: not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament or the New Covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, what does he mean by the letter? Now, we're not talking about the judicial system of the United States of America or our local laws and authority. How many are glad for the laws that are there to protect us? Even Paul acknowledges that in Scripture, actually says they are ministers for us. Now, there are certain guidelines that go with that. People have taken Romans 13 completely out of context. When man's law rises above God's law, no contest. I'm going with what God says. But for the most part, as we're praying for nation, as we're involved, and thank God this system set up by God that's being challenged right now, it's why this election is so incredibly important. Which I've got a more than a sneaking suspicion that your prayers, people have awakened all across this nation. I think people are going to be shocked into the middle. I was going to say next week, the next 4 years. I think we're in for a shocker. If I could say the word massive, I'll be the first to stand up here and admit I was wrong if I was wrong, but I think we're in for a massive landslide. And don't be foolish. This is not something after the flesh. If you've been paying attention, I believe God has his hand in all. He loves America. And with all of her problems and with all of the corruption and stuff that is going on, America, like no other nation, has been a part of the gospel going around the world again and again and again and again, and it still is because of the way this system was set up by men who were aware of providence, as they put it, but in no way were they fully aware of how much his hand was all this, and I believe his hand still is. Hopefully everybody in here is registered to vote, and you're going to vote Bible come Tuesday. And it's very simple. If you believe in killing babies, vote one way. If you don't, vote the other. I don't care about all the rest. Time to call a spade a spade. If you're a believer, wake up. Enough's enough. There's a lot of other stuff, insidious stuff. But let's just start right there. And so, hopefully you're ready. Anyway, I don't want to go off into all that. Change where we're at. But we're not talking about the legal system. I'm glad for the law that we have. The only problem is that the laws of this land are different than just about anywhere else you go in the world, because this system was based on the model of biblical law. So with that is a phrase that you're probably not going to hear much in a lot of other countries. You might hear it, but you don't see it. I've lived in foreign countries. I know what I'm talking about. How many have heard the phrase by a judge or someone else in the legal system? They make a reference to the spirit of the law. Right? Along that line, officer's discretion. The law says, but I see, honey, both your kids are in a car seat, and you were only doing X amount over the speed limit. I understand you're on the way to the hospital. The legal system says busted, punishment to the fullest extent, but I see the spirit of the law. How many are glad for the spirit of the law? It's not compromise. The law stays intact. It's there to protect you from evildoers and to stop evildoers from hurting the rest. And within that, a system that originally was based on, and we've seen the gamut both ways. That's why I love our system, because it's held us more than any other nation, held us in a balanced, rough center in which justice still, it's ironic that the social justice crowd actually want the exact opposite. But at any rate, true justice. I'm here glad for the spirit, that reference, the spirit of the, an officer says, I see that, so what I'm going to do today, I could write you a ticket, but I'm going to have mercy on you because I can see the situation, and I'm going to write you a warning. And so the law that is intact is not fudged or changed or compromised, but the one who is in the position to call that shot, fully vested with authority, is able to deliver mercy as he sees fit, just like in a court of law, same thing. Or, if he sees, after hearing the results from a jury, I'm thankful for our system. It may not be perfect, but a representative republic, What an amazing thing. Now, there are those who oppose this system, and they have all these emotional ties to why, and they believe the answer to equality, which is a completely abused term, is just more and more and more and more laws. In fact, we can use legislation to get rid of all disease, all discomfort. This is what they believe. You make enough laws, you'll stop death, you'll stop accidents, you'll stop disease, you'll stop climate change, you'll stop everything through more and more and more and more and more laws. And what happens is the more laws you have, I don't know if it'll upset anybody here this morning, but God gave the Big Ten. Adam and something else added all the rest. Say what you think. You go back and you study the law. God did not. God is not the author of death. The hideous, convoluted mess that the law becomes in the hands of men and where it goes. And that's where a lot of these, you lose track of the spirit of the law. Those Big Ten called out clear, specific righteousness. It separated good from evil. It's a clear, simple, follow these, which is impossible without Jesus. Follow these, and you'll walk in righteousness. And those things are unchanging. I'm going to go back to our legal system. I'm thankful that our legal system is at least based on biblical law. And I'm glad for the laws that we have. And there is a need for, in our system, to adjust laws and change. But laws are never, more and more laws are never the answer. That's why, you know, you got the whole big fight right now about the Constitution being a living document. No, it is not. Our forefathers, what they had come out of, what they had known, they knew exactly. I mean, you're talking about divine wisdom and how they laid out our Constitution. It is not a living. You begin to deviate and water that down, we will lose in the name of equality and making everything fair through laws. Life is not fair. We will erode the very thing that we are pursuing. And anyway, so we need to remember there are certain laws that God helped us set into place, and now with them set in stone, now those who enforce that law and are vested with that kind of authority have the ability to render mercy as they see fit. Are you here? So there is that thing called the spirit of the law. I'm very glad for that, right? But don't confuse this law with that one. That's where a lot of people get really, really confused. We're talking about God's law of righteousness for man, right? The Big Ten, the letter of the law. Was that clear? Is that okay? Do you see the difference? Okay. He says he's made his able minister of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So here he is drawing a distinction now between the law given to Moses, but now a new law, the new covenant. All right, but if the ministry, look at what he calls the old law, but if the ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious. We're not saying it wasn't glorious, that it didn't have its place. Last week and the week before, Chad spoke of Elijah. and Elisha. Luke 24, Jesus rode to Emmaus. Disciples downtrodden. Why are you so forlorn? Why are you so sad? He says, haven't you heard? They've killed our Jesus. And the Bible says that their eyes were held or withheld from recognizing, seeing Him. They didn't see who He was. And as they walked along, He began to show Himself. And the Bible says, Luke 24 says, in Moses, the prophets, and all the Scripture. If you're looking for Jesus, you'll find Him there. A lot of us really have, I mean, you've heard so much goofy stuff. You have people who say the gospel of grace is a bit of a perversion. We need to be very careful about Paul's writings. You got Martin Luther, who was the opposite. He wanted to take out James' book because it was that, because they lost the center of what this is all about. I lost my train of thought. I wanted to share what was going on there with Paul in Romans. Give me just a second to recap that thought. Road to Emmaus, Jesus in all, Moses the prophets, and all the Scripture. Well, let me go back. This it'll come to me. Get back to me. I'm sure. Are you with me so far? So we're seeing where Jesus is pointing. He's showing in. Oh, that's what it was. You have the Apostle Paul, who in Galatians chapter 1 is really fired up about a group of people, and he really challenges Peter because they're trying to bring the law back into the new covenant. I mean, it's more complicated than that. Romans is a beautiful exposition of grace. Galatians, which we did a series on, is like boom, boom, boom. I mean, it is a blast. And he's upset. And he goes on to say, look, I didn't receive this gospel from any man. In fact, I went away. I spent some time alone. He said, I received this gospel, do you remember this? By revelation. And here's where people get in trouble, especially us charismatics. Everything's got to be super spiritual. Got to be a special vision, a special word. Be careful. Here, he didn't say a revelation from, because that would mean that he had a private interpretation of Scripture. That means that Jesus took it. We had all the others, but he took Paul aside and says, I'm going to change everything with you. And I'm going to give you a special, I'm going to sit down with you. And this, I've heard guys preach this. Paul went and spent time, and he had a visitation from Jesus, and Jesus told him, this is how it is. That's not what Galatians tells us at all. It says that he had a revelation of Jesus. He got along with the Spirit of God and a man who knew the law. Philippians 3, he lays it out. The self-righteousness that he lived in, he lays bare in Philippians 3, and he said, I count all of my knowledge as dung, and all of my accomplishments completely reversed from what most of us think of. We think of all of our unrighteous deeds and acts and failings and failure. Paul was more concerned with the fact that he had counted all of his accomplishments as his strength, and he said, I realize, That's what he meant by when he said, when I'm strong, then I'm weak. We've taken that way out of context. This is the context. When I'm strong, then I'm weak. But when I'm weak, in reference to this, then I'm strong. So, Galatians, he says, I received a revelation of Jesus Christ. You got to understand that Paul and all that was taking place at that time, they didn't have your New Testament. It was being written. And the revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul got were as the Holy Spirit. Because this man knew. Do you realize that Jesus, by age 12, along with every other Jewish boy, had the Pentateuch? How many know what the Pentateuch is? It's not a ship. It's not a battleship. It's not a cult. It's the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That it memorized. Memorized. By age 12, he knew he could recite about that. But the schools are so hard on our kids nowadays. At any rate, so Paul, now a guy who could do this. How many know he was a member of the Sanhedrin? He was among the elite of the Jewish system. So Paul goes and he spends time alone, and he begins to see by revelation of the Holy Spirit pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament. And he begins to connect things. David's Psalms. I mean, what he references in Romans chapter 10, speaking of when he gives a model. He doesn't give a law concerning how you're saved. He gives a clear model of how you enter into salvation. We've got people all the time, you don't say it with your mouth, this way, you're not saved. That is so silly. Peter said it much differently. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Paul was just saying, here's what this means. When with heart belief, you believe that he is who he said he was and that he was raised from the dead, and that tumbles off your lips in worship, you are born again. A new man, new woman. I'm here glad for the power of God today. And from that day forward, it's no longer about you trying to get something. It's you finding out about what you've already got and learning to release it by faith. The same way that you received him. Heart belief. Released through your mouth, your lips, your tongue. We believe, therefore we speak. This is what Jesus was laying out in Mark chapter 11 when he was telling hairy-legged disciples still in the Old Testament. They were like, what? Saying, I'm telling you that if you believe in your heart when you say to yonder mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt what's in your heart. Some of you have already clicked off because that's the faith message. Excuse me, that's a Jesus message, and it's still true. Jesus is the one who said, believe in your heart, don't doubt it, let it tumble off your lips, then believe that you receive it. Dig the ditches before a cloud even shows up on the horizon. I'm still flying on that, brother. I can't wait till, what do we got? 2 weeks more? Three. At any rate. So, where was I at? Anyway, Paul was getting this stuff from the Psalms of David. You realize that David has over 80 specific prophecies concerning the Messiah, our Jesus? That book alone? Pictures of him all the way through. Chad referenced last week, I'm going to go back to that, Elijah and Elisha. In there, you see an incredible picture. Elijah was the prophet of judgment. His name meant Jehovah is God. You could put it this way, loosely translated. I know who God is. But Elisha's name was God is my. It became personal. New covenant. This is why many theologians, and it's right there, it's clear in Scripture, Elijah had miracles, but they were miracles of judgment. Elisha comes along, and we see miracles of provision, of healing. In fact, his very first miracle, very interesting, was to bring healing to waters. Make bad waters living water. I mean, think about it. I have time to go into all the places you could go. But his first miracle had to do with water, making bad water good. Okay? And he's a picture of the new covenant. That's why many call Elisha the prophet of grace. There was the old, and then there was a transition of the new. Two. Elijah, Elisha, Old Testament, New Testament. It's interesting, on the Mount of Transfiguration, who shows up? Huh? Elijah and the law and the prophets. And who was it that piped up? Because he had Peter, James, and John with him. You remember that? Have you ever thought about this? Peter, his name means stone. Law. Jacob. More than just supplanter, it's a name that means, I can't remember the proper title of it, but it's transition. Transition. And then you have John, whose meaning is what? Grace. Law to grace. Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus begins to shine with the glory of God. He's in a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And what does Peter say? Let's make more religion. Let's build a corral. This is awesome, and we can be like them, and we'll have our glory too. And a voice, I mean, you talking about a talk to the hand because the hand ain't listening? A voice interrupted. You look at the Scripture, interrupts Peter. That's by design, and it's recorded that way by design. Boom! T-bone from the side. Interrupts Peter. And he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he's shown with the glory of God as the law and the prophets fade away. Hear ye him. I spoke to you in that way, in pieces and in types and in shadows. But everything is changing. Elisha. Not God is, but God is my salvation. Let me read just a little further here, and then I'd like to make a reference to that with a few minutes remaining. He says here in verse 7, where we left off reading, but if the ministry of death written and engraven in stones was glorious. We are not, and I've said it over and over again, we are not antimonium. We are not anti-law. We are not saying the law is wiped away and gone, done away with, and has no purpose. On the contrary, Paul, the preacher of grace, says the law is eternal. It's righteous and holy and good. It stands forever. But the law now, under the new covenant, is for the lawless, not for those who by profession of faith have become sons and daughters. In fact, Galatians, Paul says, under the law, you were children, but now you have become sons. If you look at the original, you'll find out that that is a reference to a mature. There's a part of you that is a mature man. Now, how many know we all need to continue to grow in Christ? Okay, we understand that. Our outward man needs to catch up with the inner man. But the inner man is at a full stature. Finished. Paul says it this way in Colossians. You are complete in Him who is the head of every other authority. How many love Jesus today? Three of you. How many love Jesus today? Hallelujah. But if the minister of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Didn't say it was going to be done away, but its glory, its time, its purpose fulfilled. It was over. It fulfilled what it did. It was the school bus that brought me to a place of recognizing my need of a Savior, a schoolmaster. But once I arrive in that spot, I get off that bus and step into what the writer of Hebrews calls the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. I step out of this into this. And it's in here that I dwell. I'm very glad for the throne room. We don't just go in and out of there when we're in need. We live in there now. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Come on. Precious blood that was shed. Its purpose, its glory was to be done away. Not the law done away, but it being the spotlight, in the spotlight, the main purpose that was now finished. How shall not the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? Another translation says much more. For if the ministry of condemnation, I want you to notice two references to the law. People, I hear people all the time, well, that was talking of the ceremonial and the, you know, but the Big Ten, that's, you're not reading your Bible. Well, why are you choking on that? Why must you continue to try to prove to God that by your strict self-discipline, you somehow, this is what Paul was saying, there ain't no way. I did it all. I was even perfect concerning the law, but I was destitute. Remember verse 7? I think we went right by it and I didn't point it out. But if the minister of death written and engraven on stone, repeat with me, the Big Ten. Verse 9, if the ministry of condemnation, so we hear twice, ministry of death, ministry of condemnation. That's referencing the Ten Commandments. Be glory, much more doth the ministration, here it says, of, look at what he calls it, ministry of righteousness. This is what Paul calls in Philippians 3, righteousness which is of faith. Can you say with me this morning, faith righteousness? I'm very glad for that. How much more doth the ministry of righteousness succeed in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. Or you could say, in contrast, when the ministry of righteousness came along, it was so bright, so beautiful, so awesome, it caused the other to seem as if it had never had any glory at all. For that never was the purpose. It's the Son of Life that shines. That's what Paul meant by revelation of the Holy Spirit. It goes right overhead. I quote it all the time, but I want you to hear it with fresh ears one more time. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from that other law of sin and death." America needs to hear that. Why is it that still the American church, listen, we're in trouble right now. We think as we've built great buildings and have great systems and tons of money, we're in danger. This whole COVID thing, if it served any good purpose at all, I said it last week, the week before last, and I don't mean to just keep, you know, beating on the same drum, but it frustrates me that the biggest names, the greatest voices of faith in our nation, are still preaching to dark, empty auditoriums. If they had some guts and could stand up together, it would sweep this nation. You know what renders that kind of weakness? A hybrid gospel. It's a knee-jerk reaction every time. The judgment of God. No. It's the consequences of stupidity. And a sleeping church who doesn't understand that the power of God is not out there somewhere to be beseeched upon and begged for, but it's on the inside of us to be released. While we hide in the dark. Anyway, somebody told me, and I walked in here today, they were at a fairly large church in our area. They were scolded by the pastor for not wearing a mask. Shh. I said, somebody. I believe the Word of God, but I believe in healing, but I believe in provision, but I believe in the grace of God, but get your butt out of there. You want a mask? Put Psalms 91 on. I get so tired. Anyway, I did not. I told myself I wasn't going to go there today. And I did. Let me go back. For that which is done away was glorious. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is. And you'll notice that's in italics in the King James. I mean, it's a much more thunderous, final statement in the Greek. It would read something along the lines of, much more that which remains glorious. It's eternal. It's done. Forever. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. That's very convoluted by the King James, but James is saying, seeing then that we know this to be true, I'm being very blunt. straight on. He's making a point. That sentence right there in the Greek, he's saying, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying at all. I want this to be very stinking rotten clear. That doesn't work anymore for you. It's a good mirror for the unbeliever, but it's a poor bar of soap. Nothing but the blood washes. Oh, man. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is. How do people get around this? I used to do a series at our church every year. Not here, thank God. Years ago in another state. And I used Greg Laurie's, who I love and is a man of God and great preacher and great evangelist. But we're seeing the product right now of a hybrid gospel. It's time for the church to wake up. We had what we thought was called the grace revolution. We're already trying to balance it. A hybrid gospel renders weakness in the church. Okay? But I did a full 10-week series based on his notes. And boy, I preached it with thunderous authority. Because if ever I struggled in other areas, this one area, boy, I was on top and I could let you know how miserable you were and how much you needed God and you needed me to help you know Him. 10 weeks on the Ten Commandments as I pounded away. And how they still are necessary and how they apply to our lives today. Thank God that those people that heard that, God just put some kind of a, I hope, I pray, some kind of a Holy Ghost amnesia. Many of them have come into grace. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth, verse 14, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. He just said what he was talking about. The Big Ten. Which veil is done away in Christ. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, the veil in the temple. Yeah, absolutely. A literal, physical, prophetical manifestation. Veil torn. God's presence is no longer held in an unseen place. It was a fulfillment of, you know, I haven't had time to get to Elijah and Elisha. We'll do that. We'll get there. We're touching on it as we need it. But, you know, Elijah was an interesting guy because the first Elijah, prophet of judgment, right? But the second one, Jesus references John the Baptist as a type of Elijah, calls him Elijah. Except this Elijah was a little different. He was announcing Jesus. Elisha is a type of Jesus. And I ran out of time this morning, so we'll do that next week. Ten things. It's incredible. I'll give you 10 of how the ministry of Elisha and Elisha and Jesus parallel. It's almost freaky. This is why Paul received a revelation of Jesus Christ, and out of that, and in knowing Him, this is why Paul in Philippians 3:10 is still, after writing most of the New Testament, his heart's cry is still why God used him. Notice, he was elevated above all the rest, it would seem. The one who didn't actually walk with Him physically. Truly the fulfillment of Peter's words. We knew Him, touched Him. John, we handled Him, the Word of Life. But Peter said, there's a special blessing on those who have not, but have believed. And it's Paul. our gospel of grace. And what was he looking at? He was looking at the types of Elijah and Elisha and many other examples. God began to open up his eyes and he began to see Jesus throughout. And he gets to David and he goes, there it is. Where do you go after that? Maybe that wasn't a good question. Okay. Even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Kind of a convoluted King James. Let me just straighten it out for you. But if we'll just stop that and let the new covenant have its way, the Lord in his completed work. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If I go into that, I'll be another 15 minutes and we're out of time. We were out of time a little while ago. You get something out of that? Okay, we're going to keep rolling. Where I wanted to go this morning, and hopefully we'll get there this next week, is this. This next Tuesday, over the next couple of months, a lot of things could happen. I think we live in the best state you could ever live in right now with everything that's going on, for sure. We are far blessed than we realized. But I want to remind you of something, that in all of this, there is this theme in the background that keeps coming forward. We'll start there next week. I referenced it 2 weeks ago. How many have ever heard preachers get on TV and talk about, if you will, right now, within the next 15 minutes, give your best gift? Or the Spirit of God told me that in the next 57 minutes, those of you who give $57, there's going to be a special double anointing. And you're going to have, you know, and the frustrating thing about that is that there'll be some little grandma that won't even care who's preaching. And they'll get a glimpse of Jesus, and they'll just give Jesus that $57, and God does something in their behalf. And then they write in and tell Knucklehead that it worked, and he tells everybody else that it worked. God is not embarrassed by Knucklehead. He's going to honor people's individual faith. But that's not godly, nor is it good. He honored her faith, not Knucklehead or the knuckleheaded doctor. But you hear a lot of this about anointing, double anointing, super anointing, special anointing, end time anointing. Nonsense. I'm here to tell you today that you have an anointing already. Big as it gets, powerful as it gets, complete. All of these pictures, Paul speaks of this. All of these pictures, when we get to Elijah and Elisha, we'll see that the whole idea of a double anointing, if you go back to Jewish tradition, back to the Hebrew way, you'll find out that when somebody asks for a double portion, what they were referencing is, would you give me the rights to my inheritance of the firstborn? Did you know that? This isn't twice as good or twice as powerful. If there's any twice, the result of a heart reaching for that was is that he had twice the miracles of a different type. That's the product of a double portion. So we'll look at all that. Pretty neat stuff. But when you look at the Hebrew, you guys are big into all that stuff. Are you aware of that? This is so you are aware of that. So this is the passing of the firstborn's inheritance. He asked for, give me. I know there's all the other prophets out there, but I want the rights in this context of the firstborn. These are all very prophetic, speaking of Elijah, the Old Testament, Elisha, the new, the first begotten of God, the firstborn inheritance, and all that that means for you and I that now are joined one with Him. That's why Paul says, there is an anointing that abides in you, and you have no need that any man teach you. You know more than you think you do. Lift your hand all over the building today and say, thank you, Lord. Come on, lift it. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural wisdom dwelling on the inside of me. I don't look at things. I've said this over and over for weeks. I hope it's getting through to you. I don't just look at stuff, but by the Spirit of God, I see through it. Thank you, Lord, that grace makes me wise. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. That's not a good place to stop, but I'm going to stop there anyway for time's sake. Father, thank you so much for your people today. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for freedom. Thank you so much for your presence here with us, Lord. For where you are with us, there is liberty, freedom, openness, no fear. I love it. If your everyday walk in Jesus is still more consumed with where you failed, where you're falling short, what you could do more, measuring, comparing, I want to encourage you today. There's more for you, more revelation for you about grace. And He is here to open your eyes, to help you, to hold you by the hand and walk you forward and up in His love. He's here. Are you here today? If that's the way you're living, you haven't got a hold of grace. You may know the word, you may know the definition, but today there's more. And listen, don't feel bad, because Paul tells us by the Spirit of God that it will be the Father's joy to reveal His grace for ages to come. So those of you who think you got it all down, we haven't touched the tip of the iceberg, but your day-to-day walk of victory, of peace, of talking to mountains and watching them go, sometimes they'll delay till the last second just to see if you really mean it. Father, we love you today. We receive your word. Thank you for washing our feet. In Jesus' name, let's stand together and worship as we're dismissed. Amen. Chad, would you join?